Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah! Here we are. It's a Monday. Live in LA, it's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Hold on here a second. Hold on. The opposite. A little hair thing. Sorry for our television audience. Apologizing there. Got a haircut today. A little bit off. Joy Taylor is joining me. All right, Joy. So we both had a nice weekend relaxing with friends or fam, and now we are all in on this draft week. And Joy, there's about 7 different rumors. An NFL team this morning actually for about 3 or 4 minutes put up a trade and then pulled it off. So there's stuff happening now.
I think this is going to be one of the more active drafts. We thought that it was going to be a lot of trades last year, but I do wonder if the circumstances that they were dealing with last year with the pandemic kind of made teams a little more hesitant to be aggressive.
Well, something else I read this weekend, because a lot of good players opted out and didn't play this year.
Yeah.
Like Rashawn Slater, Northwestern, and you're like, yeah, we like him, but the article I read, it was a pro scout that said, don't be shocked if guys that opted out, not the top 10 picks, you start getting 3rd and 4th round, guys opted out, and you may be, the guy you liked is gone, and one guy was willing to play 8 games, and one guy opted out, and you sit in that draft room, and a lot of guys are like, give me the guy who played. Like we always said, if you wanted to opt out, you certainly had a right to.
Right.
But if I'm in a room with 8 guys, and I'm sitting making decisions.
Well, you also have to look at the tape from the year before.
It's harder. Some guys, you just don't know. So I think it's going to be a lot of stories.
Yes.
And that'll be a great draft. In our life, it'll be a draft with a lot of stories.
And I don't remember this many quarterbacks being talked about in like the top 6 or 7 picks. I mean, 1, 2, 3, we're getting quarterbacks. We know that already.
For sure.
Yeah.
Can't wait. All right, Colin was right, Colin wrong. Brought to you by Jersey Mike Sub. Good things come to those who wait at Jersey Mike's. They come to those who don't. Download the app, skip ahead, cut to the chase by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above, and here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Been saying this now. Some teams can manipulate the cap, and it seems like they use a Swiss bank, and other teams can't. How about the Kansas City Chiefs? They added Orlando Brown Jr., a Pro Bowl left tackle, and they just spent $1 zillion on Joe Tooney, a guard. And Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce, and they pay Patrick Mahomes. And on the defensive side, they pay Honey Badger a ton, and they pay Frank Clark a ton. This is what you do if you know what you're doing. Tampa Bay's GM and Brett Veach, the Chiefs GM, know what they're doing. I mean, look at their offensive line, how expensive it is. And they still pay a star receiver and a star tight end and a quarterback and a defensive lineman. The Chicago Bears don't pay anybody, and they couldn't afford Kyle Fuller at corner. Had to let him go. The Chiefs once again showing half of this league, I swear to God, is having a good accountant. Because for Kansas City to add another big, they're going to have to pay this guy a fortune over the next 3 or 4 years because he hadn't gotten paid yet and he is great.
Where Colin was wrong.
I never understood Mike Tomlin for a long time. I didn't really get it. What was the secret sauce? And then you start watching him win games with Duck Hodges. He signed an extension last week, a 3-year extension. And it kind of came to me. He's got a belief system and a physical presence that he can take you through tough times. He has a winning record, 18-15, without Big Ben. Belichick couldn't win with Cam Newton. Nobody in this league can win with their backup except Sean Payton and Mike Tomlin. Pete Carroll before Russell Wilson got fired multiple times. It just took me a while to understand that Big Ben is a lot more drama than I ever thought. And Mike is the glue that holds it together. You start hearing about Big Ben's lack of offseason preparation. You see what he does with every backup he's ever had. Winning record with Dennis Dixon and Duck Hodges. And you're like, oh, I get it. I was wrong. I get it. There's a presence and a belief system. Veterans buy into it and rookies buy into it. And that's a hard line to thread there between the old guys and the young guys.
Where Colin was right.
Zion Williamson, I predicted, will know End of his first year, he's a top 20 player in this league. I'm wrong. He could be a top 12, could be a top 10. First player since Michael Jordan, listen to this, to score 2,000 points before his 80th game. The reality is, folks, he creates so much. Watch all these moves. He is literally leaning in on everything. I'm surprised he doesn't lean in on free throws. Meaning he's going to be Karl Malone. He's going to live at the free throw line. I said this before he got drafted. I said my biggest concern is actually can he get better at the free throw line? Because he's going to shoot 8 to 9 a game. And as we predicted, he lives at the free throw line. So he is everything we thought he would be and faster, even faster than I thought he would be there.
Where Colin was wrong.
The Dodgers do have a hole after all. I think it's the most talented baseball team, top to bottom, I have seen in 20 years. They're winning without Cody Bellinger, an MVP. But the bullpen against the really good Padres team in two series is a real concern. They blew a 7-1 lead yesterday. They've played the Padres 7 times, and they're 3-4. They've blown 5 saves, which is alarming when you consider they haven't lost many games. So 70-75% of their losses are all in the back end of their staff and their bullpen. Now, again, San Diego's a real team, so it's you're losing to a team that you could meet in the NLCS, but it's a problem. And I've said this before, it's almost impossible to win a Super Bowl with a bad O-line. Kansas City Chiefs, left tackles hurt, overwhelmed. Really hard to win a World Series when you're leaking runs in the 7th and 8th inning, so it's something to work on.
Where Colin was right.
Baker Mayfield did not get a wedding ring. He got a pendant. And there's a big difference. He got a fifth-year option picked up. Lamar Jackson's going to get a contract extension. Josh Allen's going to get a contract extension. 31 games in. Mahomes got the wedding, the car, the house. They gave him a fifth-year option pickup. What does that mean? It's still dating. This goes back to something I've always said. Baker's obviously good enough to win a division and win a playoff game. Why are they waiting? Maturity. That's it. Maturity is that they don't know if he can handle success. They know he can throw. They know he can win games. They know he can win a playoff game. Why aren't they talking extension? Because it's the one thing I kept pounding on. They don't know if he can handle success. Last time he had a little success, he went out and did 8 commercials, put on weight, and didn't have a good year.
Where Colin was wrong.
I thought Tom Thibodeau was going to be a disaster with the Knicks. I'm going to give myself a back-to-back weeks wrong. Folks, they've won 9 straight, longest streak in the league. They're a 4 seed in the East. Now, like as Joey and I said, it's a little like Phoenix. The regular season means, because they're creating a culture. So the regular season, the Knicks and the Suns are totally in. They're playing their arse off. They're playing defense. I don't think it's going to translate to a massive West, you know, Suns are not going to fly through the Western Conference playoffs. I don't think the Knicks are going to fly through. But the truth is, I was wrong. I never thought Julius Randle would be an MVP candidate. I thought he was an efficient player. I never thought Tibbs would work. I've never been a D. Rose fan. He's giving you 15 off the bench. So I could be like 4 wrongs on this one. R.J. Barrett, we all thought was going to be pretty good. He's been exceptional. But, you know, this is a Thibodeau has created a culture. And the culture is play defense, make people earn it. And right now, the Knicks, I got to get this right, the Knicks allow the fewest points per game in the league. And that's Tibbs. With a young roster to do that, that's Tibbs.
Where Colin was right.
New Denver GM George Payton last week. We may draft a quarterback. We want a real quarterback competition here. Translation, Drew Lock's probably not long for the organization. Maybe plays the rest of this year. He's too loose. He's too casual. He makes too many mistakes. There's a lot to like. He's got a big arm and he moves around. He's a very good athlete. Apparently he was a very good basketball player. It's not like he's bereft of talent. But this, you know, he reminds me a little Baker sometimes. Likes his arm a little more than he should. Likes his talent a little more than he should. And by the way, it hurt Baker his whole career until he got a really intense Kevin Stefanski who said, no more throwing 32, you're going to throw it 26 times. So maybe he can make it work if they can get a run game, limit his exposure. But I think what the GM was saying is what I have felt for the last year, which is I don't think in that division with Herbert, Derek Carr, and Mahomes, I don't think he works.
Where Colin was wrong.
James Harden. I guess he is injured. I thought it was a smokescreen. You know, he carried the team for a month and a half while Kevin Durant was out. And then they brought him back. And the minute Durant comes back, he's like, oh, my hammy. But last week they said he had a setback. He's not going to play until the playoffs. Still 10% of me wonders. The guy's never been hurt in his whole career. And the minute Durant comes back, he suddenly has a bad hamstring. But whether it's true or not, I'll take a wrong. And I also think, honestly, it's the right move, as I've said. When you have like two or three stars in the team, Lakers, Brooklyn, Philadelphia is doing this. They're giving Ben Simmons some nights off. If you can win 60% of your games and not lose your too much of your playoff seating without playing your veteran stars who can be brittle, then take it off. It's the downside to a condensed schedule. I don't think players will take this many games off next year. I don't. I think the reality is loaded teams with veteran players, they're resting until, you know, draft is over and playoffs are close.
Where Colin was right.
I'm going to take a ride on this. Nick Sirianni's not going to work as coach of the Eagles. So he came out and his first press conference was uncomfortable. It was not good. And then last week, I think he tried to double down on it and tell you how clever he was. And I just, this I don't like this. I'm not going to watch. It's too uncomfortable. Here it goes.
I played a couple of them at rock, paper, scissors, right? That was as easy as that. Rock, paper, scissors. Let's see how competitive you are. I'm competitive. I'm going to be talking trash to him. Did you talk trash back to me? Right? Jeopardy. There's different ways to do it. It looks a lot of different ways. But our coaches got so creative with this. Like anything you compete at, when you compete with somebody that's competitive, they're going to go at you no matter what, no matter what game you're playing.
I don't like any of this, honestly. If you did this, just don't tell me. I don't want to hear your general manager literally put his head down when you said that. Like he was embarrassed. I said this last week. If I said something and you were embarrassed about it, you'd put your initial thing is to just like not make eye contact with people. The GM's like, oh boy, I don't want to make eye contact with anybody. I know I sound like I've just given up on this guy, but I'll say it right now. I feel bad for Jalen Hurts and bad for Deshaun Watson and I'm bad for Jared Goff. Those teams are finishing last. In my life, I've never known exactly three teams are finishing last this early. Last place. Just put it in. Want to win a beer at a bar? Eagles last, Texans last, Lions last. Can you imagine going from the Rams, Cam Akers, Sean McVay, Andrew Whitworth, and like four really good receivers, and just the culture of LA and the weather and the culture and the fun and the to Detroit? I feel.
Listen, I love a good game of rock, paper, scissors.
I'd walk over.
But if I'm in a job interview and they're like, I want to see if you're willing to compete for these ratings, rock, paper, scissors.
I would say, I'm going to go work at the Bravo Network. Okay. I'm not working here.
I don't know what you're getting at, but I don't think this is going to work.
It's funny because my wife worked in HR for years, years and years ago, and what they do at interviews, and you know, you're always looking for eye contact and stuff. You don't really have to get clever. That's the thing. If you sit down and talk with people, you can. When we were thinking about bringing you on, you go have a coffee, you talk for 15 minutes. People show you exactly who they are. Just believe them. You don't have to go into play Twister or Jeopardy. You really don't. You don't. I mean, seriously, you don't.
No.
It's not that difficult.
And listen, there's many ways to do things, and people should always be looking for new ways to, you know, evolve.
Do you have
systems,
to announce them at a press conference?
I don't think that rock. I feel comfortable in saying. Rock, paper, scissors is not a good evaluation of anything about a person other than they like to have fun.
By the way, I go paper all the time because people love rock and I cover it. I go paper nine times
in
a
row. Oh, that's your strategy?
Yeah, I always go paper. Paper. Huh? Everybody thinks rock and scissors are weapons in their mind. And you just go paper and you got a 50% chance to beat the rock.
I just read your mind, so.
Okay, well, that's a strategy I've never been able to employ. All right, Peter Schrager, I'm going to do a mock draft. I love doing these. So I've done three or four. I've used scouts. I forget who I used the first. Oh, Joel Klatt came after me. So Schrager, he is the most, of all the people I've done mock drafts with, he's the most tied in, meaning his mock draft, it's an information-based.
So are we doing what's going to happen or what you would do?
We're going to predict what's going to happen.
This is a predictive one.
This is, I think it's a predictive one. So Schrager's around the corner.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Enjoy spa-like comfort, Navien tankless water heaters. Only heat the water when you need it. That's why hot water never runs out. It's more efficient, save money. Visit tanklessmadesimple.com. All right, Fox Sports NFL reporter, also works at the NFL Network. He's very employed. Peter Schrager is now going to join me live. We are going to do... So we're going to do a mock draft. We may go 16 picks here. So I've used scouts. I've used a couple of scouts. I use Joel Klatt, but you're different because you're an information guy who I trust. So we're going to do this draft based on what we think is going to happen. Both of us have information. We're trying to do a draft. We think this is what it's going to look like Thursday by the end of the night. So are you ready to go?
Colin, I've never watched a piece of tape. I don't grind the tape. I don't think I'm a scout. I am an information man. Let me tell you what's going to happen, not what I think I would do. Let's roll, dude.
All right. You get the number one pick, Peter Schrager. Go ahead. You start it.
The card has been in since the Jets beat the Rams in L.A. back in December. Urban Meyer would still be hanging out at the FS1 studios if it wasn't for this one. It's Trevor Lawrence, number one overall out of Clemson. The perfect prospect, no doubt about it. Who do you got at number two with the Jets?
All right. Not what I would do. I think his size worries me. He's a little bit of an ad libber. He hasn't played great competition. They don't have a great O-line, but I think the Jets, again, this card's been in for a while. Last 2 months, we'll take Zach Wilson. Very good arm, very good athlete, quarterback BYU. I still think he looks small. I worry outside of left tackle about the Jets' O-line. They haven't been very productive at tight end. The receiving core is better. They don't have backs. It's going to become a very Zach Wilson-reliant offense. Good luck with that. I'll take him. The Jets will take him, too.
You sound very enthused. I'll go with number three. Niners fans, buckle up. I'll tell you, Trey Lance worked out for them on Monday and blew them away. They loved them. And everything you're hearing is accurate. They're very interested. The pick with the third overall pick in the NFL draft will be Mac Jones out of Alabama. Niners fans, don't come at me. I swear, Faithful, I know it's not the popular pick. I know everyone's cringing at this one, but a lot of GMs, not just the ones I speak to in the top 10, say this guy is a no-brainer for San Francisco. He's the pick at number three.
All right, number four, Atlanta. I've made the argument that Derek Carr and Matt Ryan are not the issue. The rest of the roster is the issue. I don't think they take a quarterback. I hear they're picky, but I do think they'd move down. But I think they go with the best pure talent in the draft, Kyle Pitts. This head coach has worked with tight ends before. It's his specialty. I think he's an instant 75-catch, 6-touchdown player. The Falcons have talent at wide receiver and offensive line. That's not the issue. Arthur Smith elevates Matt Ryan plus Kyle Pitts. It's my best guess. I could be totally wrong, but I do think he's the best pure guaranteed talent in the draft, and that is something for a first-year GM. This is the one pick in your career you're guaranteed not to miss.
The first non-quarterback off the board, you go Kyle Pitts. It brings Cincinnati up at five. And I will tell you, all my information right now on the Bengals is this. I've got connections in that organization. They have not made that decision. It is between two players if they're both there. Penei Sewell, the big offensive tackle out of Oregon, and then Ja'Marr Chase, the wide receiver out of LSU, who took last year off but was with Joe Burrow and had 20 touchdowns 2 years ago. The coach is Zach Taylor. He's an offensive mind. You can get tackles in the second round. I am going with Ja'Marr Chase out of LSU, pairing him with Joe Burrow when they had a ridiculous 1,800-yard, 20-touchdown season the last time they played together.
All right, Joey, let's go back as a reporter. What are your top five picks?
All right, so the top five picks are Trevor Lawrence to Jacksonville, Zach Wilson to the Jets, Mac Jones going to the 49ers, the Falcons take Kyle Pitts, and Ja'Marr Chase is going to the Bengals.
One of the reasons I gave you the first pick, because I don't want to touch the Lions. I don't know what they're doing. Miami's interesting. So they've already got two receivers I like and a tight end I like and a running back I like. And they went and got left tackle. Do they go wide receiver? Do they go offensive line? This is my tough pick. I don't know what they're going to do. I'm going to guess here by the aggressiveness that they went up in the draft. They take Jalen Waddle, and I have no confidence the wide receiver. By the way, there are NFL people that like him more than DeVonta Smith. Bigger receiver. Again, now you got Will Fuller, DeVonta Parker, Jalen Waddle, the tight end.
Gesicki.
Yeah, you get to a point with them now, if they'll know by Thanksgiving on Tua. Like, if you can't win with this group, if we can't score, we got the wrong quarterback.
You're absolutely right, Colin. They also have an offensive lineman they can pick in the 18th overall selection. And then you also have the guy like Hunt, who they took in the second round. I feel like they're set at lineman. Wide receiver makes sense, which leads to Detroit. Trade, trade, trade. Anybody want this pick? Anybody want this pick? We've got six picks the entire draft because this is bleak. If they're sitting here at seven, give me Penei Sewell at seven if he's just sitting there. It's not a home run pick. I don't think it's anything that Detroit fans are going to go bonkers with. They love Taylor Decker over there, what they did with him this offseason. They like Frank Ragnow. I guess Penei Sewell's the pick, but I'm not doing flips over this if I'm a Lions fan.
All right, I have the eighth pick, Carolina. They have two huge needs. Corner, they could get J.C. Horn, who's moving up the draft. But I do think left tackle's a concern. Their O-line's okay. It's really not good left tackle. I'm going to go Slater. Northwestern opted out. You could move him inside or out. But I do know they spent some money on a center. Their right tackle they like. This gives Sam Darnold. They've got receivers they like. They just went and got a tight end from Arizona. Christian McCaffrey's a star. You get this left tackle, then you can go back to the defensive side of the football and fix that secondary. That's my guess there. Slater, Rashawn Slater, Panthers 8 to protect Sam Darnold.
He's a great kid. He plays left or right. You can actually move him in the inside if you need. It's a solid selection, which gives the Broncos the choice of either Trey Lance or Justin Fields. Thinking about George Payton, I don't know if they want to do a huge long project with Lance, and yet Fields, I don't know if that makes sense. I'm going to go with the big gamble, and I think they'd be happy with it. North Dakota State quarterback Trey Lance goes 9th overall to the Denver Broncos.
My, I talked to Trey Lance about that. He likes Denver. It's not that far from where he grew up. Not far, right? Minnesota, Denver, Colorado. All right, Cowboys 10. We know what they need, defense. Kyle Pitts is off the board, so Jerry's not happy. I'm going to go J.C. Horn, hyper-aggressive corner, dad Joe Horn. You could go him or Surtain. You could go either one. I mean, in the room, he is a playmaker. He's physical, defends the run, played in the best conference, not on the best roster, so he was more valuable to his team. I'll go J.C. Horn of the Cowboys.
In this simulation, Justin Fields is sitting on the board at 11. And I just like to keep that in mind when everyone's talking about these mock drafts and where these quarterbacks are going. Fields will not be going to the Giants. To me, it's DeVonta Smith or it's Patrick Surtain or maybe Micah Parsons, who is a talented player at linebacker. Giants need that. I'm going to go with the Alabama corner. Patrick Surtain goes 11 to the New York Giants. They take him over DeVonta Smith, which would be a shocker in a lot of circles here up in New York.
Okay, Joy, give us an update, 6 through 11.
Okay, well, we have Jamar Chase at 5, Jalen Waddle to the Dolphins, yes. Penei Sewell to the Lions, Rashawn Slater to the Panthers, Trey Lance goes to the Broncos at 9, J.C. Horn to the Cowboys, and at 11, Patrick Surtain to the Giants.
Now, by the way,
this is good.
Now, I do think New England's going to trade up at this point. I do. And I think they're going to go to 7, but we're not playing that game today. We're guessing what we have. Philadelphia, the Eagles have so many issues. They could use edge. They could really do anything. You know, I'll throw it out there. I think they're going to go get the best defensive player in the draft. I'm going to say Micah Parsons.
Wow. Okay.
Listen, they have Slay, so they have a lockdown corner. And this is a good corner draft. So they can go get a corner later. The left tackle, Virginia Tech, scares people. Do they need Austin Vera Tucker? They're getting old in the offensive line. I think they liked receivers, but now we've... Hold on. Can I come back?
Devontae's sitting there if you want him, dude.
Yeah, my bad. I'm going to go Devontae Smith, the wide receiver.
This is what happens. This is what happens. In the mock draft, you're like, wait, that guy hasn't been taken yet?
I'm going to go Devontae Smith, the wide receiver. They went and took a wide receiver in the first round last year. Slower developing player out of TCU. Listen, like Tua, they got to make sure Jalen Hurts is going to work. They got to get him playmakers. You got to find out if this guy can play. So I'm going to go Devontae Smith, 12 Eagles.
It makes a lot of sense. Jalen Hurts played with him at Alabama before Jalen transferred to Oklahoma, and Devontae Smith's a Heisman Trophy winner. He falls to 12. It's great. 13, Chargers. They got to protect Justin Herbert. They did a good job already in getting, obviously, the center, Corey Linsley. They picked up another guy, a guard from the Steelers. I think they go with Elijah Vera Tucker out of USC, and they'd be happy with that pick at 13.
Yeah, he played guard. He was all conference. And then they didn't have a left tackle last year. They slid him over. He was great. By the way, also no red flags. Quality guy.
Nothing. Yeah, great kid.
Yeah. Wouldn't be shocked if the Giants maybe go there if maybe mm-hmm. both corners are off the board. He's a great kid. All right, Vikings, Mike Zimmer last year. Didn't have a preseason. Mike Zimmer's a defensive guy. They got nothing but offense over there. They got two great young receivers, one young, Adam Thielen. They got a star back. Their O-line's better than it was 5-6 years ago. I think they go edge rusher, Jalen Phillips, the kid out of Miami. Russo's dropping in the draft. Quiddy Pay's hit and miss, depending on who you talk to. I think they go with Jalen Phillips. Mike Zimmer needs a pass rush in a division with Aaron Rodgers twice a year. Go look at their schedule, who they play, some veteran quarterbacks. Zimmer is a really good coach. And last year, between injuries and free agency, the defense was an embarrassing mess, especially early. He goes edge rusher.
You pair him with Daniil Hunter. And remember, Daniil Hunter is going to have a contract soon. Are you going to pay him $100 million? What are you going to do with him? This is a smart pick if Phillips is the number one guy. I would also say offensive line is possible for Minnesota. That's what the rumor says. 15, put the card in. It's been in. I mean, it's unbelievable if it works out this way. Justin Fields is the next Patriots quarterback, and they don't have to give up next year's first-round pick. Justin Fields. Celebrate in Foxborough. You got Cam, and now you've got this guy who's going to be the heir apparent. And look, it is a clean draft prospect here. Everyone seems to want to pick apart things, but you can't say anything tangible negative against the kid. Did not lose a game in the Big Ten. Has the huge arm. Runs a 4.440, which is as fast as a 40 we've known at quarterback. And from all things I've heard, yes, he lost out to Jake Fromm at Georgia. This is a good player, a good leader, and a guy that who players have played for and coaches who have coached him all speak volumes about. If he slips to 15, that could be the steal of the draft, and everyone's going to be kicking themselves.
Okay, Arizona does stuff we can never figure out. Right? So they could take an edge rusher, Quiddy Pay, but they already went and got J.J. Watt, and they have Chandler Jones.
Yeah.
And they could use a linebacker, but last year they got Simmons. So I'm going to throw a crazy one up. There's a cornerback out of Northwestern because a lot of people have concerns about the Virginia Tech corner.
His back.
And they do need a corner. How about the kid from Northwestern, who is the best, first or second best corner in the Big Ten? I don't have it on my sheet. I think it's Greg Newsom.
Greg Newsom's his name. I think it's a solid pick. Colin, can I throw in some other names for you for the Cardinals?
Because
obviously I'm connected with a lot of these teams. I feel like the way they've been aggressive, if one of those wide receivers falls, great. Don't be shocked if they go linebacker and it's Parsons or Zaven Collins, but also Najee Harris could be an interesting position there. They don't have a running back. They do not have a feature running back. And I don't know many other teams that need one. Cardinals do need one.
So you tell me Greg Newsom stinks as a pick.
Hey.
Okay.
How'd we do?
Okay, hold on right here. All right, Joey, I'm going to take.
Open up the phone lines.
I'm going to go Quiddy Pay, Michigan, because I think Steve Kimes, I think J.J. Watt's old, Chandler Jones, I think he's in that division with Stafford.
Yep.
I got to face Russell Wilson. I got to face Garoppolo. I want an abundance of pass rushers. Quiddy Pay, Arizona. I don't know what Arizona's doing. So, Joy, recap 12 through 16.
The Eagles get Devontae Smith. The Chargers get Elijah Vera Tucker. The Vikings take Jalen Phillips. The Patriots get Justin Fields without having to make any moves. And the Cardinals take Quiddy Pay.
What do you think, Colin?
Well, Arizona is always a hard figure. Like, Detroit's a hard figure. Who knows what Detroit's going to do?
I'm
doing a commercial for Detroit here. If any team is watching this right now, Detroit's phone lines are open. Just trade something. Offer something. You never know. Offer. Because I don't think they want to stay at seven. They have only six picks. The Lions would love to trade back. I think the Panthers would be an interesting decision whether they go offensive line, corner, which you said, or quarterback if Fields and Lance are there. And then if the Broncos are at nine, Fields or Lance, what's your preference? If they're both sitting there, that's fascinating.
What a fun board. You know, it is, you get, it's these players and about five others are the ones that are going to go. We all kind of know the 22 guys that are going to go in the top 15. You kind of have a sense, but like the Chargers, for instance, are sitting there. You know, they need a corner. They would love J.C. Horn, and if he's there, they'll take him. But they haven't left tackle issues, so... So much fun. All right.
I love it. I cannot wait for Thursday. It's going to be great. And I think this year, because the medical information is so up in the air, and it is, and there was no combine, and there's very little scouting going on the ground, it is a crapshoot like we've never seen before. If you're at home and you want to be a GM, this is the year to play along, because honestly, there's no intelligence beyond what the most basic stuff is that's out there on film.
Shregs, you're great. Thanks, buddy.
I love it, dude. Thank you.
I saw somebody this weekend crapping on people who do mock drafts. What are you talking about? I'll read any blogger's mock draft. I go to all of them. I don't care. Tough. I don't know what Detroit's. That's why I gave Schrager Detroit. I don't know what they're doing. I mean, obviously, I've always said, outside of an occasional John Elway or Andrew Luck or Trevor Lawrence, I'd always trade down. I would trade down every year in the first round. Every year.
Yeah, I mean, if you just, it's better to have more options. We love talking about the draft and we evaluate it, but we really aren't going to know what any of these picks are truly going to be until 3 years from now. So why not have more?
Yeah. Good stuff. We'll get to Herdline News in a second.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches. Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sunday, the NASCAR Cup Series is on FS1. Get ready for some high-speed action as Joey Logano defends last year's win at Kansas Speedway. The engines fire Sunday at 3 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app.
Good stuff this weekend. Dodgers lose last night in a wild game to the Padres. Baseball have a little bit of a renaissance. The numbers have been good this year. Got some really good teams. Here's Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
The 49ers are going to get their next franchise quarterback in the draft on Thursday. They reportedly narrowed it down to either Mac Jones or Trey Lance, but not everyone in the organization is on the same page about what they should do with the pick. Kyle Shanahan is said to want Jones, but many in the personnel department have been pushing for Lance, so Shanahan may acquiesce to the scouts on the pick. But the decision is not yet final.
And Schrager told us Trey Lance had a workout with the Niners and blew him away. He was great.
Yes. This report is from Todd McShay. I don't know. I feel like it's going to be Mac Jones. I think that I subscribe a little to your theory earlier that, you know, you kind of want to make it seem like you were looking at everybody and this was just the choice. You didn't just narrow in on one guy. It's really not safe to do that at any position, unless it's someone like
Kyle Pitts,
Chase Young, Kyle Pitts, Trevor Lawrence, the consensus must have in the draft. Anytime you're outside of that space, you want to be like, we were flexible. We were looking at this, but we got some information at the last second. You know, we did the best we could evaluation at the time.
Don't all of our financial advisors always tell you diversify? You never want to put all your chips in. It sounds great, but you can look really foolish.
Well, it's a little bit of optics, yes, but I do believe you should also do your due diligence. Like, you don't want to just fall in love and then stop looking at everything else and stop evaluating everything else just because this is like the guy that you want the most. Like, there's a lot that can happen every single day. I mean, stuff happens on draft day that makes guys drop. So, you know, there's a lot that can happen between now and Thursday and on Thursday, but I don't know. I don't see it with Mac Jones, but if he goes there, he's going to have some success because it's Kyle Shanahan.
Some, yeah.
But I do think it's also interesting what will happen with Jimmy G, because there are some talks that he could be traded after they take this pick. So if you go with someone like Mac Jones, who many feel like is a little more pro-ready, obviously Trey Lance didn't play last year, although I think he has more talent upside. Do they move off of Jimmy G if they take Trey Lance this year? I don't know. But there's going to be some amazing stories that come from this draft on draft day, and there's so many things to watch, so many new things to watch next year. We got to watch what the Jets are going to do, what's going to happen with them, the 49ers, Jacksonville, and Urban Meyer. There's so many new coaches. It's going to be a wild NFL season. So the Cowboys, and especially Jerry Jones, are very high on Kyle Pitts. Who isn't? But with the 10th pick, they'd have to make a move to get him. And according to Ian Rappaport, Dallas is unlikely to trade up for Pitts or for anyone else. If they do make a trade, there's a better chance that they trade down. They have 10 picks in the draft. Obviously, this would be amazing television to watch Kyle Pitts with
the
Cowboys.
Oh, it'd be fantastic.
Now, falling to 10 would be dramatic, but there's a lot that could happen, and some trades that could be made that could cause that.
They can solve at 10 if they go, because they draft last couple of years. They got a young corner they like. You can solve a lot of your problems. You know, like last year, Carolina said, we're going all defense. So Dallas has 10 picks. If Dallas took 8 to 9 on defense with Dan Quinn, you can, I'm not saying you're going to solve all of them, but I did like what Carolina did last year, and they just said, listen, we're so bad on that side, that's all we're doing. I could see Dallas saying, outside of maybe an old lineman, because they're getting old, getting creaky, I can absolutely see Dallas going, we're going to take 8 of our picks on defense. Number 10, take a corner. If you start looking where they're drafting, high in these drafts, you can do a mock draft with Dallas and having them getting an elite corner, a really solid edge, or another corner. When you're a top 10 pick, you're getting starters. Dallas should get 3 starters defensively out of this draft. If you look at what the draft offers, most people think at about halfway through the fourth, it gets a little soft. Well, that means Dallas should get 3 starters and a rotation guy with their picks.
Well, if Kyle Pitts is available at 10, take Kyle Pitts.
Of course.
Okay. And thank God for blessing you on this draft day.
Right.
If he's not, they should absolutely go defense and use, as you said, a lot of their picks on defense. They were 28th in scoring defense, 23rd in total defense. They gave up the most points in franchise history last year on defensive side of the ball. When Dak was healthy, they were 3rd in scoring offense, 1st in total offense, 1st in passing offense. That's through the first 4 weeks of the season. Dak got injured in week 5. Now, that's obviously not a huge sample size, but when Dak was healthy, the offense was not the side of the ball that they had issues on. Sean Lee just announced his retirement. They definitely need help on the defensive side of the ball and should go heavy defense. So, big UFC fight this weekend. Kamaru Usman beat Jorge Masvidal in UFC 261. It was a very impressive knockout that was trending on all over social media because it was very dramatic. They had some amazing pictures of the knockout in the second round. It's like, if you freeze frame it, it's like sweat flying everywhere. This is now Usman's 4th straight title defense and his 14th straight UFC victory, which is the second longest streak in UFC history. So he is dominating UFC right now. 19-1-0 is a record. Only Anderson Silva had a longer winning streak in UFC history, 16 fight streak from 2006 to 2012. But this was a big time fight. A lot of people in attendance, and it was short in the second round, it was very dramatic.
Yeah, they had very few empty seats in Jacksonville. A lot of people have been vaccinated, and the ones who have said, I'm going to go watch that fight. That's one of the pictures of the fight.
It's an amazing picture if you haven't seen it. It's, he's such a dominant fighter. Like, this is, you know, this was a rematch anyway. Usman beat Masvidal in a unanimous decision in a pretty one-sided fight in UFC 251 last July. So this was a rematch, but he's fighting so dominant right now and has such an amazing story.
You're finding, UFC is in its infancy if compared to all the other leagues.
Yeah.
You're getting some superstars. You're finding some people here on both the men and women. You know, again, any sport.
Yeah,
starts.
Rose won again this weekend.
Yeah, so you're getting to a point with UFC is you're starting to see some stars emerge. Like, Now this is much more, most of the title holders are global citizens. They're not domestic.
Oh, so, yeah. I mean, this is an international sport.
And so you're starting, this sport is just taking off now in some countries, and the quality of the fighter is getting much, much better.
Yeah. It's a great fight.
Good stuff here. Joy with the news. Hustler Turf Equipment, most complete lineup of residential lawnmowers in America. Go to hustlerturf.com, 1,000 dealers nationwide. So stories today, Atlanta's taking calls on Julio Jones. My guess is at 32 years old, he's a huge cap hit the next 3 years, about 20 large. They'll probably move off him. Mock draft with Peter Schrager. Some teams like Detroit and Arizona, hard to get a read. Arizona needs a corner. They don't need a pass rusher. The thing about some of these teams, like Arizona thinks, if you look at their roster, well, we're going to be a playoff team next year. So if we can get Quiddy Pay, we may not have the opportunity in the next 2 years to get an edge rusher in a division with Russell Wilson and Matt Stafford. And at this point, Jimmy Garoppolo. So you just don't know. You got about 4 rounds of starters if you draft right. Hour 3 next.